of students in Leeds. This is Leeds Student Radio.
Welcome, Leeds Student Radio. This is Down to Business. I'm Edwin Otter.
I'm Joseph Wilde.
I'm Sean, founder of That's What Sean Said, a daily global news page that aims to keep it short.
All right, in our headlines today are...
The UK remains on track to be the fastest growing G7 economy this year, despite new figures showing that GDP growth slowed in the third quarter to 0.7%, down from 0.9% the previous quarter. G7 is a group consisting of the seven major advanced economies as reported by the IMF, as Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the UK and the US.
Something that could have been of an effect on that though is the £1.7 billion extra that the UK is being asked to pay to the EU's budget. The EU budget is divided between member states based on the size of their economies. That means that if the UK economy was bigger in previous years that had previously been reported, it means that it has been underpaying.
Move over, Airbus and Boeing. Mitsubishi, the Japanese manufacturer, has rolled out its 92-passenger Mitsubishi regional jet. Boeing estimates that air travel in the Asia-Pacific region will grow at almost three times the rate of the US through to 2030.
The privately owned sandwich chain Pret A Manger sales have jumped by 17% this year. The chain rakes in more than £10 million a week in the UK and heads into mainland China for the first time. Pret is benefiting from the change in habits towards eating on the go.
Company not doing so well at the moment is Tesco. Britain's largest retailer saw profits for the first 6 months of 2014 almost wiped out. Toxic combination of a recent accounting scandal and slumping sales at its declining UK store empire seen profits fall by a whopping 92%. Its shares slid more than 6% to 171 pence, wiping another £1 billion off the value of the business. Tesco is now worth just half of its value in January.
Sticking on the subject of food, McDonald's, the world's largest restaurant with 35,000 global outlets and $28 billion in annual revenues chain, has missed this shift in what consumers want to eat, reporting one of its worst quarterly profit declines in years. So-called fast casual restaurants are marketed as healthier alternatives to traditional fast food, serving fresher ingredients that are often organic or locally sourced, and this is being addressed to McDonald's. A new marketing campaign entitled Our Food, Your Questions is being run in the hope of winning back the trust of its customers.
The investment banking giant Goldman Sachs has had a fantastic third quarter. Earnings came in at $4.57 per share, crushing expectations of $3.21 per share. Investment banking revenue surged 26% to $1.46 billion. This helped bring the firm's net revenue to $8.39 billion, which was much higher than the $7.83 billion expected by analysts. Its investment banking division was ranked first worldwide. The firm also ranked first worldwide in equity and equity-related offerings and common stock offerings for the year to date. Assets under supervision increased to a record $1.15 trillion, with net inflows during the quarter of $20 billion, including $13 billion in long-term assets under supervision.
Ford Motor Company has seen a sharp fall in profits, largely due to the cost of developing its new F-150 pickup truck.
P&G, Procter & Gamble on Friday said it would sell its Duracell battery business, probably through a split-off into a separate company, as it looks to focus on faster-growing brands. The world's number one household products maker said in August it could sell about half of its slow-growing brands in the next 2 years. Duracell, the world's number one battery business, was widely considered to be one of the largest assets that P&G was likely to divest.
Listeners on last week's show may remember our discussion of milk being used as a loss leader across many supermarkets. Well, earlier this week, the Royal Association of British Dairy Farmers have been telling consumers not to buy milk from Morrison's, Aldi or Lidl, and to think twice about Asda and the Co-operative as the battle of the supermarket continues. The row centres on the price paid to Britain's 14,500 dairy farmers, most of whom from the 1st of August received just 25 pence a litre for the milk they produce, compared with around 30 pence before. The price cut will force many into bankruptcy, warns the Royal Association of British Dairy Farmers, which along with the National Farmers Union and the Farmers Fraction say that 30 pence a litre is the minimum price that producers can survive on. Not also at supermarkets paying below the 30p, with Tesco, Sainsbury's, Waitrose and Marks & Spencer all paying 30 pence a litre or more to dairy farmers. That's your summary of the week's headlines.
Yes, thank you, Joe. We have an
interview from Leeds Student Radio.
We have in the studio Sophia, the local committee president of ISEC Leeds.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, Sophia. We're delighted to be joined by you this morning. You're the president of ISET Leeds, which, if I am correct in thinking, is an international, non-governmental, non-for-profit organisation providing young people with cross-cultural, global internship and volunteer opportunities and leadership development experience on campus. I believe your ISET name was originally a French acronym, which stood for the International Association of Students in Economic and Commercial Sciences, but you now incorporate students from all degree programmes, not just Economic and Commercial Sciences. As of January 2014, the ISET network includes over 100,000 members in 125 different countries. It's the largest youth-run organisation in the world.
This is correct, Joe.
Would you like to tell us a bit more about what you do in Leeds and what the ISET Society offers to students?
Absolutely. So, as you said, we're a not-for-profit and values-based organisation. What we strive to do is provide young people the opportunity to develop both their personal and their professional skills whilst they're at university. And the main means through which we do this is cultural exchange. So students can engage with us in two means. Either they can be a member and they can help us run the organisation, which is actually help our cultural exchange happen, or they can just interact with us by going on exchange with us, either on volunteer placements or on paid internships abroad.
Sounds interesting, sounds good. So you're in Leeds, you're a Leeds University Union Society. What's your annual membership and what would that involve for potential students thinking about joining?
So our membership fees are only £10 for the year. And what we do is we divide our members into different teams. So members can join and either become part of the outgoing exchange team, which is marketing our volunteer and paid internships on campus to other students. They can develop their own marketing strategies. They can organise events that are beneficial to society and that enable students to become a bit more globally minded and a bit more responsible. Or they can work in the incoming team, in which they interact with businesses and not-for-profit organisations in the region to create opportunities for foreign ISECers to come and work in the UK.
Hi, Edwin, Sophia, you both work for ISAC or join ISAC?
Yes, I'm in
right?
ISAC as well.
Both committee, yes.
Yeah.
So, you've guys seen the cultural exchanges and the packages they offer? You know, the price, is it? Would you say that it's reasonable, or what's your comment?
I'll let Edwin take that one.
I think the price is very competitive if you speak to other recruiters and other agencies that do what we do. But the benefit of ISAC is that you will have a culture that is not only very welcoming to you, but then you have student representatives doing similar things as yourself in different locations.
Nice.
So, for example, here in Leeds, some of the interns that do come, we organize socials for them. We make sure that they're picked up from the airport and their visa, their accommodation, bank accounts, phone, all of that is sorted with ISAC, so that they immediately settled into the community and that they have an opportunity to engage. So we don't just say, you know, high company, high student, you know, this is a match made in heaven, goodbye. You know, we actually make sure that we manage the relationship.
Take care of the students
as
well.
Exactly. So for me, that's the benefit of ISAC.
And I think from a student point of view, like, we've got to remind people that we are not for profit. So everything we do is to sustain our organization. And when you look at organizations, I'm not going to name names, but that are charged above £2,000 for students to just go and volunteer abroad. This is not what we want to do. We want to provide a full experience to the student where we ensure that they learn. And it's not where you just go and build a playground in a third world country and then you leave. It's that you go and you actually provide, you actually bring a sustainable learning to the community and you really help them with what they need to do. And the student who is going abroad goes on a leadership development cycle themselves. So it's really holistic and we've got the student's interest at heart.
I think I might know who you were referring to when you said the word playground, but that's not the case. So today, our special topic, student debt. Any opinions?
Down to business listeners, what would your first reaction be when you woke up this morning and you realized someone had paid off all your student debts? It might be the stuff of dreams, but an activist group in the United States has been carrying out exactly that, buying and cancelling other people's student debts.
How does it work?
Well, Actually, certain debts can be bought and sold in the financial marketplace. In this speculative secondary market, third parties buy debt for a fraction of its original cost and try to collect the full amount from debtors, which of course may not be guaranteed.
I think how they really work is that I saw the website yesterday, and if you check it properly, Rolling Jubilee actually buys debt from the marketplace, and then instead of actually seeking to collect the debt from the students, they just fund that. They just fund the purchase of the debt using donations. Did you guys know that? Yeah, they do. They do, actually.
I believe I've also been reading up on this. I believe it's an it's sort of a splinter group of the Occupy movement that we saw protests earlier in the year and over 2013 as well. And it's sort of an ideological move and a bit of a standpoint from their point of view against what they see as the rising cost of education, which they believe is a barrier for some people, and that, well, it's been seen and studies have proven that a lot of especially in America, talented youngsters have been put off higher education because of these costs. So I think that's the sort of ideological move behind it.
Yeah, I think it I mean, if you think about it, most parents end up spending £300,000 plus on their kids' education all the way through to university. So, I mean, if you were to tell me that $300,000 could not set up a business, you know, if you were to tell me that that kind of investment could not be used to develop people in other ways, then I'd be considered a fool, because education these days, you know, is a system that used to be able to fit together, but now a lot of the pieces are missing.
It's very structured now.
It is extremely structured. But what I mean by that is that after the World War, the education was meant to suit a particular need. So if you came out of university, you were a piece that fit into an actual system that was working because there was a need for you. But now, here are the products, and us students were products that are made through this machine. By the time we leave, we don't actually fit into the system anymore
because
there are no places for us. You know, so, Sophia, what would you think organizations like ISEC can do to help fill this gap that we're experiencing? As last year, students, the graduating class of 2014 has more debt than ever before. So imagine I'm graduating in 2005. Here's a future graduate here talking. So I know that by 2015, we may actually hold the record for the most debt ever. Like, that's a scary thought to think about.
But doesn't it reflect on the amount of students that more and more students coming into universities as well?
Yeah, so I think with the question of the changing face of education today, and I definitely agree with you, Edwin, in that there needs to be a kind of a readjustment with education and what society needs today and what kind of environment the workplace is today. So I think organisations like ISEC, but any other not-for-profit organisation that's youth-oriented and other student societies are extremely beneficial to youth, because we've noticed that lots of employers are really unsatisfied with the type of education students are being provided with. They arrive on the workplace totally unprepared. And I think that now with raising fees and this question of higher debt, definitely our education should be much more comprehensive. It should be more practical, and it should be more empowering of youth.
You're right.
Than now. It's still very, very systematic. It's like our education systems have not adapted to the new needs of society and the new needs of the workplace. When we talk about what society needs today, yes, we want more innovation. We want people to be a bit freer, to be able to try new things, to help boost our economy. But if you look at our parents' generation and our grandparents' generation, they were set to live a career. You know, their career was a single career for their entire life, and that was their path. Nowadays, you know, young people jump from career to career, and in a lifetime you have between 8 to 10 different types of jobs. Therefore, you need different kinds of people. This idea of single line career where you follow the tracks of your parents and grandparents is no longer accurate, and so we need to have education that adapts that. And
so, going back to student debt, I know that you're originally French. What are the levels of student debt in the rest of Europe. Obviously, it's a big issue here. And as Germany just announced that there will be no fees for university students, and I know in places like Switzerland, and, you know, I don't have to go on, the list goes on, where education is free from you know, nursery to higher education.
Yeah, so in France, for example, we do have much lower fees. So what you pay is like an administration fee to enter university, which is around 400 euros. And then you need to pay, I mean, the system in France is that the only source of higher education is not universities. So we have universities and then we have what we call like higher schools. And those schools are private, so they do have fees. But when talking about university, there's just an admin fee. And then you have to pay your books and obviously your living costs on top. But I do think that that's the quality of France. However, when we do look at international rankings, French universities are not as well recognized just because we don't have such a strong focus on research and development. But if you look at really successful universities like in the Netherlands that have really good resources for their students as far as like, you know, campus wise and materials wise, but also have a much lower fee. They pay on average 1,800 euros a year. And they also get extra support from government monthly, which you get in France as well. Students get, regardless of, I mean, it's based on your income, but all students get some sort of monthly support from government if they're not living at home. And in the Netherlands, it's the same. And they also get like free transport. So there are advantages given to students that own, that are, the whole society kind of is there to help students. That's not only university fees. I do think that with the, when the fees came to rise in the UK, I think that was a huge concern for a lot of students, and including myself, although they didn't affect me personally. But the privatisation of education, I would hate to see the UK become like the US. I do believe that education should be accessible to all. I wouldn't want to see the quality of the teaching devaluate. I would like the resources to be the to be of quality for students. So I think that a minimal fee is reasonable. But this rage of fees raising up to three times more than what it used to be, to £9,000, I think is a huge concern for students. And I don't see how it empowers young people to then work for their country and boost their economy if they start in the workplace with a debt that's crushing them.
So, for example, having opportunities to get apprenticeships and to gain skills and basically to bridge the gap between business needs and what the universities and educational institutions
to make the
offer.
Whole system more practical when you actually go and work.
Just to go back to the point on student debt, we've been looking at sort of the needs of society, but at the end of the day, is a student's decision to go to university not an investment in themselves? It's an investment in their individual. So some people might say the fees are high, but at the end of the day, if you're spending £9,000 a year, you are likely throughout your career to earn that money back, and should it be fair
but
that,
the return
that society pays for you to enhance yourself, to enhance your own education.
But the thing about investing in education is that there's always a return, and sometimes the return might not be just in wages and how much you pay. I think it all comes down to the transferable skills, right? And Isaac really, really focuses on transferable skills, don't they?
I truly believe in, you know, like personal development and education being an investment in oneself. However, if you're going to charge 9,000 grand, then give us 9,000 grand's worth of education, which is something that's currently, I would argue, isn't the case. And when you see that there's a disalignment between what higher education is providing and how you can put that into practice and the transferable skills that you learn and what the opportunities available in the workplace, then actually the argument is, well, is that investment worthy? Because are you going to be able to make it back? I am very much for higher education, don't get me wrong, and I don't think that everything should be free. And I, you know, when you look at certain students' attendance with the, even the lower fees, and you think, well, do you realise how privileged you are to go to university? And you're not, you know, they're not seeing that investment. They're not realizing the worth of that investment, and they're not making the most of their time of university. I think that's a huge waste. So maybe having a certain level of fees does add value to the education. But yeah.
Here we are as students debating whether or not student debt is acceptable for society. Obviously, it creates a huge burden for the economy as a whole. But what are we actually doing to solve this problem? I know that ISEC has a Youth Speak survey where they're trying to collect some information on the student voice, because I really feel like our voice is missing, the youth, the students. Like, there needs to be a proper channel of communicating these needs, you know, to the right places so that we can actually see some changes happen, and it's not just us talking to ourselves about it. So, like, what are some of the things that... I know ISEC is in an agreement with the UN in terms of YouSpeak. Can you tell us a bit more about that survey?
Yeah, not quite. So ISEC does partner with part of the UN and part of the EU. And they try and... So the EU and the UN look to us as an organisation that represents a global youth voice, so around the world. And we encourage students, you know, who are not part of ISEC, to also kind of partake in this youth voice and to voice their opinions on different topics which kind of affect governments and, yeah, the UN and the EU. I think as students we should be a bit more concerned and a bit more active in making decisions not only for ourselves and for our lives, but also for the rest of youth and the generations after us. So one of the things that ISEC is really passionate about is being sustainable and in kind of giving, empowering youth to really get the best out of education and stuff. But if students don't express themselves, if students don't take up opportunities that are available to them, then then it'll be difficult also for our voice to be heard and for us to provide opinions.
Sustainable, how?
So, as I mentioned before, ISEC is a values-based organization, so based on six values, and one of these values is sustainability. And so when we mean sustainable, we mean that we try to empower individuals whatever they take action and do in society, it's something that has a positive impact and that won't impede on other generations. So one of the things that ISEC tries to develop is more entrepreneurial young people, because we think that that's what society needs today, which is something I feel the university is still lacking. So if we give the chance of students to gain all the experience while they're at uni so that they feel ready and confident enough to set up their own business, but they not only set up their own business, but they set up businesses that are not only financially sustainable, but are also sustainable in that they will generate positive impact for future generations, and that they take care of certain social issues. So it's very much of a mindset, actually. It's very much of a can-do, positive, curious, dynamic learning mindset.
Well.
Yeah. Learning about other cultures, we really want to bridge the gap between cultural diversity and cultural misunderstandings, so that young people can partner around the world to set up better businesses, more ethical, and things like that.
I'd definitely agree with your comments that sustainable entrepreneurship is what we need to be aiming for, and I think that we're very lucky that on campus we have organisations like ISEC that help to build a rounded student, because I think a lot of the criticism around universities since fees have increased is that they're sort of just churning out a product. They're seeing degrees and they're seeing students not as an individual that needs nurturing, that needs education. They're just seeing churning out a product 9,000, 27,000, 27,000 time after time, and they're not serving the needs of society, serving the needs of the business world. So I think that here in Leeds especially, we're lucky to have societies like yourselves that can sort of develop those other soft skills, those other skills that businesses need and businesses require.
Thank you very much, Sophia.
You're welcome.
And we hope to hear more about the wonderful things ISEC is doing. If you stay with us next week, you'll also be hearing from another entrepreneur who's going on to set up their own business. So you hear real stories about people who are actually going on and doing some of these things. And yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sophia. Cheers.
Have a good day.
All right. Join us again next week for...